Are you ready for the quantum age?
Humanity's next step in evolution?
Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you to the extraordinary platform of evolutionary voices for the quantum age.
Let's explore. Learn more about this upcoming age where we bridge science with spirituality.
Where potentiality meets reality.
Where we take compassion into action.
Our trailblazers and visionaries will ask the whys, the what ifs, while igniting continuous possibility.
Come along with us into an age beyond what we know today, where we can grow together in unity consciousness.
Experience evolutionary voices for the quantum age, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on DreamVision7Radio.com.
Welcome to Awakening to True Happiness with modern-day mystic David Hoffmeister, offering you the how-to to spiritual awakening by addressing on a practical level answers to your deepest questions. David Hoffmeister is a world-renowned teacher of A Course in Miracles and has been traveling the world for the past quarter of a century, offering his wisdom to audiences wherever invited. On this show, you'll hear recordings of David's best live talks, inviting you into an experience of deep wisdom and true clarity. To learn more about David, visit his website at davidhoffmeister.com. Awakening to True Happiness with David Hoffmeister is part of Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age, heard Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Hi, everyone. So grateful to be with you and to share this very deep, profound experience that we are all entitled to miracles and we're entitled to this holy instance. So, Francis, how are you doing? I see you down there in Mexico.
Hi, David. Hi, everyone. Yeah, I'm so excited about this weekend. Just any opportunity to be able to join our minds with the Holy Spirit and listen to His message. And that's really what the Holy Instant is for, and that is what our retreats are for, just for the answer. You know, that's where it lies, in this Holy Instant, the answer lies.
And we have become accustomed in this world to linear time and to past, present, future, which, you know, Jesus has told us that's an invention of the ego. So if you're adjusted to linear time, you're adjusted to a lie because God didn't create it. So that's why sometimes people say, I feel like my whole life in this world is somehow something kind of like a lie. And Jesus is saying, yeah, very good. You're trying to pretend that you're a time-space creature, a creature of flesh instead of an eternal spirit. Yeah, that's a pretty significant lie that you've told yourself. But Jesus said, don't worry, I got it. Holy Spirit's got this. No worries. You will inevitably reach the holy instant. And in that moment, you'll just have a big smile on your face and a smile for the whole cosmos and the whole human race. So that's what we're really going into today. And Francis and I had a little chat this morning. As usual, we were just having a good laugh at how different this spiritual journey is from what we thought it would be. And because people oftentimes said, well, you know, it's going to be a lot of hard work and it's going to be a lot of intensity and struggle. And to the ego, that is definitely its interpretation of the spiritual journey. But I find this holy instant is so playful and light and joyful. That's how I burst into singing, even when I don't know I'm going to sing. It just comes through me because there's a lot of happiness. So that's what we really want to convey, is the happiness of the present moment. It's not dull, it's not boring, it's not difficult, it's not filled with effort and struggle. It's actually like going down a water slide on a hot summer day and having a big splash in the water, the refreshing, sparkling water that's below. So what an invitation, Francis. What a great topic. We're just gonna savor this whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that I know that on this spiritual journey that feels so counter-programming, we were talking about this morning, the counter-programming, because we were programmed to think a certain way, what success means, what peace, happiness, where it lies, and we spent the whole time pursuing it. Then once we said yes to this spiritual journey, where we find happiness is not according to the program of the ego. You know, today's workbook lesson 154, I'm among the minister of God, is so dear to me. I, you know, many, many years ago, before I really joined the community to kind of give my whole life to God, this is the lesson I was reading, and there was this sentence, would you receive God's message? That's just one question in the middle of the text. And when I read that, I really paused for a long time, and I hear myself say it out loud, yes. And then the next sentence is, that would make you God's messenger. You are appointed now. And the next paragraph, God's messenger, receive his message now. It's like, so from that point, I can say that is truly the decision that is made. And there is no real form decision once we accept that decision. And that's why this journey can be so relaxing and playful and easy, because we make the decision that is truly needing to be made. It's made in mind, it's made for God, and everything else in terms of what our function is, in terms of action, are already decided. So even, you know, looking at the holy instant that Jesus talked about it so much in the Holy Instant chapters. He's saying, you do not need to prepare your mind except the recognition that you want it more than anything else, except that you desire this above all else. That's the only preparation you need to have. That's the only preparation. Everything else is his function, is his preparation. He will prepare you. You don't need to be holy to come to the holy instant. That's holy instant's function, to make you holy. It's his function. And it was so comforting and to live this way, not only to read it, but to actually live this way, to know that it's not me that needs to achieve awakening. He is the one, and my little desire, my little willingness is gonna be paired up with massive, massive strength of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, what a comfort. Because it's like all of us have been programmed to strive, to put an effort in. You know, we're raised with words like work. I think probably when we're children, we're having so much fun playing that when the word work is introduced, it's like a shock to our system. Like, what? Work. But along with work comes strive, achieve, accumulate, learn. And just when you've gone through your preschool, kindergarten, and you make it through grade school, then you have to go to junior high, then you make it through junior high, and then you have to go to high school. At least in the United States, that's the system. And then when you make it through high school, you have to pick out your college or your university. And then when you go through your college or your university, you can either work or you can continue and get your master's degree, your doctorate degree. And then even if you get your doctorate degree, some people I know get more than one, it's a lot of work, then they start practicing and working in the world, and then they have to go back for continuing education. Oh my God, it never ends. You get a PhD and you've got to go for continuing education. And Jesus is saying this, and this is programming. There's no learning in heaven. God created you perfect as spirit, and spirit doesn't learn. In fact, when we're thinking about the holy instant, the holy instant is not learned. So basically, this is going to be going into a whole different realm than the human being has known, because all the human has known is the past repeating day after day. Wake up, get out of bed, brush your teeth, take a shower, get your clothes on, get ready, go do your work or your task of the day. You go grow tired, you come home, you have your meals, you relax a little, and then you go to sleep and you do the same thing again, day after day after day after day. And Jesus is just saying, well, actually, this is programming. This is the ego set this up. And you may even believe you have free will and choice in this world, but that's all a projection of the unconscious mind. The body, the personality, is like a robot that's been programmed by the ego in the unconscious mind. So it thinks it's choosing what to eat, what clothes to wear, who to date, who to marry, who to divorce. You know, it thinks it has choices of where to live and what to do. But again, Jesus says, well, it's actually part of a prearranged plan. And the ego is running the show from the unconscious mind. So if you feel sometime like you feel like a robot, like you're just doing the same things over and over, it's because the ego programmed it. It invented time and space. It invented its own programming. It invented the body as a self, which God did not create. God creates in spirit. Spirit creates spirit. But the ego projected the body. And then Jesus says that no single instant does the body exist at all. It's always remembered or anticipated. So that means if you believe in the past, you're just remembering an image and you're identifying your identity with it. And if you're concerned about, worried about the future, how's the body going to survive? What's the body going to do? The future is a projection of the past. It's the same programming projected into an imaginary future to keep you bound in sleep and unaware of the kingdom of heaven. So I've quit playing the game of trying to diagnose, and I think for many years, I played the game of react and respond to the images of the world. Then suddenly, in a moment of joy, I realized I just had to listen to the Holy Spirit and to follow the Holy Spirit. I learned pray, listen, follow, instead of judge, react, respond. You see? The reason we learn is because it's a curriculum in judgment. If you go to school, you're learning a curriculum in judgment. Or even before you go to school, with your parents and your siblings, when you're a little body, that's a judgment curriculum too. Do this, don't do this. Treat people this way, don't do this. You know, it's very much full of judgments. And then you reach a point where I would rather pray, listen, and follow, then judge, react, respond. You see the difference between those two modalities in the mind. That's what we're going for today.
Yeah. And even we received some of your questions, which we probably would dive more into on Sunday, but we received some questions, and one of them is like, I don't feel I just graduated from university. I don't want to work. What am I going to do if Jesus really going to instruct me if I give my life to Jesus? And that is, you know, the underlying question. If I really turn my calling and my priorities to God, is this really going to work out? Is this really going to be okay? And I think really David and I and our community are here as a demonstration that it works out for us, for every single one of us. Even in its own individualized way, it works out. We really just, at the beginning of this, said yes to this calling without thinking how it's gonna go. And what we are doing right now is we're not really idle, waiting for the day to pass. We're not counting the hours. We're not being lazy. We're not being just going through the motions. Actually, once we decide to say yes to God, it becomes a moment-to-moment instruction that would be handed down to us.
What showed up for me was to go live in the woods like Henry David Thoreau, live in the woods like Robinson Crusoe, no running water. I was out with the bugs and the birds and the snakes. And I think probably my ex-girlfriend, my parents, my professors, everybody was probably shaking their head like, oh, he had so much promise. We really thought he had some promise after 10 years of university. And then he just pissed it all away to go live in the woods like Mary Magdala or like St. Francis or, you know, like Buddha and whatever. But I took my Course in Miracles book to the woods. I wasn't just out there with the bugs and the caterpillars and the butterflies. I was actually praying. I learned how to pray in a much deeper way. I learned how to listen to the Holy Spirit in a much deeper way. And then I started to realize, wow, like just like Francis said with lesson 154, once you say yes, once you really say yes to be a messenger for God, that's really all she wrote. I mean, the ego is on its heels the moment your heart and your mind say yes to God. The ego is immediately on its heels. It's like, uh-oh, my trick of time and space is not working here. Uh-oh. Oh my God, a yes. And then when you say yes, you don't really know exactly what's coming, but you know it's going to be good. It's going to be healing. You know that God's will is what is. God's will for me is perfect happiness, and nothing I can, you know, think or say or do or make can establish my worth, because God already established my worth as a spirit in the creation. So I've actually got nothing to lose and everything to remember. You see, remember God, you remember everything. And what do you lose? Nothing. You can't really say you lose something important if what you're letting go of is an illusion. Why would you hold on to illusions when the truth is true and the truth is who you were created as? God created you perfect and innocent, and that's just a fact. And then you just surrender over to the fact. Say, oops, I played a human being for a while, but I'm sorry. Sorry, ego. I think I'm tired of that. I'm actually ready to wake up to my eternal reality. So what we're experiencing is that once we say yes, then everything is provided. Jesus even says the Holy Spirit will go before you and make your way, your path straight, and leave no obstacles to bar your way. It will go before you and make your path straight. And even difficulties will melt away before you reach them because of who walks with you. You're walking with the Holy Spirit. You're walking with the guide, the comforter. You're walking with the answer. When the answer is with you, nothing can be against you. Who are you following? I'm following the answer. Well, what's that mean? Do you have a better word? I'm following the correction for the error. And the error has already been corrected. So I'm not a sinner and nobody's a sinner because the correction has been given already. And now I want to simply follow that answer day by day, moment by moment. So this is such a joyful experience to follow, and then you do release this idea that you have to do something in the future to make your way straight to God. God didn't create the future. God is with you now, and God is speaking to us and saying, just stay with me and rest with me. If there's any instructions, I will give you the instructions. If there's anything you seem to need while you believe in time and space, I will provide what you seem to need. I will make the way clear for you. You can relax. You can breathe easy now. You are not on the hook of guilt. You are on the release of guilt because of the love. And that's why we're here joining with you, you know, to share this happy release. We're here to share this celebration.
Yeah, and truly trust the Spirit, because we have a very, very holy function, even on earth. But this holy function is not in the doing. This holy function is given by Him. You know, it's in the mind. That's why in this lesson 154, he just asks one question: would you receive message for God in mind? Not, it doesn't matter what you do, because the message once received is going to be given in different ways. You become the message. You're not a messenger. You actually become one with the message, and that is your mighty function. So it actually really blows away all the earthly function out of the water. What do we need to do here? We have a heavenly function, and that is what we're here for. This function is established in heaven. This function is given to us from heaven. This function is waiting for us to say yes, and it will carry out itself in all situations, in different form and shape. But this is our function. That's why, you know, even over all these years where the ego wants to attack, because it feels joyful, it feels so so different from the programming of the world. No need to strive for success, no need to earn your happiness, no need to earn your survival. Just be happy, and the ego would come on along the way to attack. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are to be able to speak for God? And in those moments, I always just remember this yes I said to God. And then I would ask myself again, is that still true that you would receive message from God? Yes. Then case rested. Yes, that's still the case. Then I go along my way. And that is the only question, you know, that directs all the actions that we do here. So that really dawns on me this morning. But also when the holy instant topic comes along, we need to really emphasize this. This is the Holy Spirit's moment. This moment is given to us. This function is given to us. This curriculum is given to us. And we are here to say yes. We do not have to establish the curriculum. We do not have to establish or written the message. We do not have to establish the holy instant. You know, is extremely disproportionate. That's how Jesus described our contribution, and Holy Spirit's contribution is extremely disproportionate. We have to accept this is all from Jesus, from the Holy Spirit, and we have to step back and relax and say yes to it.
Yeah, and Jesus knows that even though we may call ourselves a human being, he knows we actually behave more like we're human doings than human beings. He's like, well, it's a nice word you threw in there, being, but you don't do much being. You're a doer. You're a doer. It's like talking to a fish in the water and saying, wow, what do you think of them mountains? And the fish is like, what are you talking about? Because all it knows is the water. It doesn't know the mountains. It's like, what's a mountain? And when you say, oh, God's will, well, human beings or human doings don't really understand what God's will is or perfect happiness. They say, no human being knows perfect happiness. No human being knows perfection. Jesus is like, right, you know, it's a construct. But once you come back to your right mind, once you come back to line up with the Holy Spirit and Jesus, then you get a really good taste of that happiness. You go, whoa, I was looking in the wrong direction. I was searching for my happiness in externals. And I was trying to claim enough externals to be happy. You know, I mean, it's beyond just the pursuit of a career and earth goals so that you can retire on Golden Pond with your little nest egg and take your final breaths looking out over the pond and watching the sunrises and sunsets. Jesus is saying, well, actually, you can see by the way you lived your life that you really were addicted to time. It's hard for me to even remember, but I have a vague remembrance of how I used to think, thank God it's Friday. That's why they call it TGIF. I would think, thank God it's Friday, so I have a weekend of free time, of my own time, to enjoy life. And then, as soon as I'd get into Sunday, I'd have this little dread coming over me, and I'd be thinking, oh my God, I dread Monday. I dread Monday morning. And then when I would get into work on Monday morning, I would notice in the afternoon, my eyes would just involuntarily drift over to the clock. You see, how much more time do I have to work till I get up? I make it through the day. I make it through the night, and then I do it all over again. You know, it's like round and round and round. And then TGIF, thank God it's Friday. And then the weekend goes by so fast. Why is how 2 days can go by like a blink? And then dreaded Monday morning. You see, now this, for many people in the world, this is a mental construct of egoic proportions. And Jesus is saying, well, why are you talking about retirement? You're not happy now. If you're addicted to time right now is where we need to free your mind. Not in 10, 20, 50 years. We need to free it right now. You've got a mental construct that you're going through, and you don't believe you're worthy of eternal happiness, of eternal love. And so now you're playing a very limited time game, and you're trying to give yourself little morsels of happiness. In my case, weekends. Those were my morsels. It's a weekend. Let's have some fun because Monday morning will soon be here. You see, that is really not life at all. Now, I know for Francis and I, we both did our share of that, but that was so long ago. It's in such a distant past. Now it's faded so far that I'm happy the Holy Spirit can use the example where I can at least speak the words, but I don't feel that in my heart. I feel joy, I feel free, I feel expansive, I feel natural. I feel like I'm in a natural state of being. So I think it does take trust. It does take the development of trust, and you can't go from being identified with the body and just transition immediately into the light without fear. So Jesus says, well, let's have a phase in between where you're done through, where the Holy Spirit inspires your actions. The Holy Spirit inspires what you do. Live an inspired life. Let your guidance direct the body, what you think, say, and do. And then you'll reach a point, which is our weekend now, like Francis is saying, where even that will have to come to an end, because you start to realize that the holy instant doesn't involve the body at all. It doesn't involve using the body in a helpful way or a harmful way. It transcends the body entirely. And as Francis, we were talking this morning, Jesus says, you cannot prepare for the holy instant without placing it in the future. I'll say that again. You cannot prepare for the holy instant without placing it in the future. So now he's given us a whole book with workbook lessons, with texts, he's given us a whole big book here. And now when you get to chapter 15, he starts talking about the holy instant. And he's basically already in the middle of the book preparing us to let go of the book. He's preparing us to let go of actions. He's preparing us to let go of behaviors. He's going to crank it up. In fact, this is how in chapter 15, this is how he prepares us for beginning to really talk about the holy instant. He says, can you imagine what it means to have no cares, no worries, no anxieties, but merely to be perfectly calm and quiet all the time? Yet that is what time is for, to learn just that and nothing more. He even rhymes. He's getting playful with us. He's playfully telling us, oh, there's going to come a point where you're not going to remember the body at all. And you're not going to remember anything about the body, the judgments of the good things or the bad things. It'll be gone from your awareness completely. So here's how it goes. We go from being a human doing to being done through by the Holy Spirit and Jesus to the holy instant. Oh my gosh. Wow. That is something we do not prepare for. We just desire it. We say, God, I want you above all else. And just by our desire, the prayer of our heart, it comes back into our remembrance, into our awareness. Not through doing, not through achievement. We don't learn the holy instant. Oh, it's a gift of grace. It's when we get out of the way. The beaming light is so strong when we get out of the way. It's just like, oh my God, this was here all along. I can't believe God loved me this much, and the grace of God was already there. So that's why this weekend is, in one sense, it's kind of a new direction for us all, because it's saying, yes, follow your guidance and be inspired. Have your doing be inspired, but don't think that that's the end. The end is not in the doing. It's actually undoing is where we're going.
I remember someone asked David once in a gathering, is this journey a process or is an instant? And David said, it's a process until it's an instant. And that is exactly, it's really an instant, but it seems to use time, but give time a different purpose as well. That's everything is giving back to the Spirit to be in charge, even time.
You see, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they actually are taking care of everything. All of our seeming steps are perfectly arranged and orchestrated for us. And all we have to do is realize that forgiveness is the Holy Spirit's function. Correction is the Holy Spirit's function. human beings, persons, don't have to figure out forgiveness. It's in the mind. And all we have to do is be willing to join with the Holy Spirit and say, you're in charge. You're the one that's going to do the forgiving. I'm going to join with you so I can be a part of that amazing perspective. But you take the weight off of your shoulders. The salvation of the world is not falling on the shoulders of a person. That would be arrogant to think that the salvation would fall on the shoulders of a person. Even Jesus, you know, it was his mind. He accepted the atonement, the correction in his mind. That was his greatest example. He was showing us how we could change our mind and remember God, remember the truth.
Yeah. Sometimes people have this question, like, I'm not willing enough. I'm not willing to let this go. I'm not willing to let that go. So what about that? And I remember David said, well, if you're not willing to let something go, of course you can't let it go, because we're always going to hold on to what we value. But it's the Spirit's job to convince you. It's the Spirit's job to inspire you. It's the Spirit's job to give you a contrast experience. So even that, we don't need to shoulder it on ourselves. We need to be willing enough. No, let give the Spirit the chance to convince us. We put everything back on the Spirit. So when the mystery school, the power went out, yeah, we can the Holy Spirit use that? On the opening day when everybody arrives, just settled from overseas, traveling 20 hours, just landed, the power went out for 20 hours, and we have the big opening ceremony planned. No power, no internet. Can the Holy Spirit use that? Yes. Get David up close and personal with every single participant to have shared intimate moment. And that's how everything works together for good, if we give it to the Holy Spirit, absolutely everything. Yep.
Yeah, I think if we just remember that our function is healing and it's healing in mind, then right away we start to feel more of a lightness and a playfulness, and we start to feel more open. It's this idea of personal responsibility. First, the ego tricks us into believing we're a body. But the ego doesn't stop there. It has to burden us with a bunch of personal responsibilities that it throws on top of the body. It's all in our mind. And then we feel like we're personally responsible for healing. We're personally responsible for making the right personal choices that will bring us happiness. And in the end, you know, even when people have criticized the course, you know, you can imagine if you've grown up in like a Christian tradition or most any religious tradition, and then the course has a workbook lesson, salvation comes from my one self, or salvation comes from me, to someone who's raised in the linear theology of time and space, that seems very arrogant. What do you mean, salvation comes from me? That's got to be the most arrogant statement ever, until you realize it's talking about your mind. That God's will doesn't involve time. It doesn't take time to realize God's will. God's will is eternal. It's the belief that God's will takes time to be experienced. That's arrogant. You see? God gives love and grace and joy for all eternity. And then to believe that it's going to take time to realize that, that's where the arrogance starts to come in. And the me that he's talking about, and the salvation comes from me, he's talking about our mind. That we can choose to accept God's will right now. We don't have to wait. We don't have to keep putting it off into the future. We can choose it now. It will take some dedication and devotion, but why not? Why not devote to eternal happiness? You know, it's like, that seems to me a good thing. I would want to devote my mind. I mean, I devoted my mind to learning how to drive and learning how to, all these skills and abilities. I was in university, I was in engineering, I was in urban planning, I was in psychology. I took philosophy classes, I took many classes. And then at some point, Jesus was like, all right, you know, very good, you've shown you can learn. Now, are you ready to learn to forgive? why don't you use some of that effort? It takes a lot of effort to do the papers and all the exams and whatever for 10 years full time. And Jesus was like, very good. Well, we see that you can apply effort to learning. Have you ever considered what your learning goal is? Why don't you give all that effort to learning forgiveness, learning to release the world and be happy in the present moment? So I can say I'm a happy learner. For a while I thought I was a slow learner, but then I had to let go and forgive that too, and just start to say I would rather be a happy learner than anything else. And then now we're doing the Holy Instant, where Jesus is saying, there is a point that goes beyond learning. You don't usually hear that. I mean, I never heard that in all those years of schooling. Not one professor said there is a point that comes beyond learning. They told me I would just have to keep learning till I went to the grave. You're laying there, you got one foot in the grave. Did you get your lesson? Are you learning? It's like, ah! But Jesus is like, no, I'm taking you to a state of mind that transcends learning. There is a point in your mind that's so beautiful and so pristine. And he even says he calls it a holy image. There's a holy image in your mind that when you behold this holy image, you will see the reflection of God's love in this holy image. I have sometimes thought, that's pretty funny to put those two words together, Jesus. Holy image. And yet he does. He puts holy image together. So to me, I did ask him recently, I said, can you give me something that helps clarify this holy image thing? And he said, well, you tend to think of the world as like a motion picture. You tend to think of like what videos are playing today. You know, it's everything seems to be kind of in motion. But he said, what if there was a perfect Holy Spirit snapshot, holy image, that when you beheld this image, you knew that everything and everyone was the same. This is an image where everyone is included without exception. And there is no differences because it's all just one thing, like a photograph, like the Ringo Starr song, Photograph. So he's telling us, the Holy Spirit will take you into this holy image. And once you behold this, the light is reflected in everything and everyone equally. And then you're ready to go beyond the image into the light itself. Even beyond this holy image is pure light. It's the truth. And the truth is no reflection. The truth is just what is. But you have to be willing to see this holy image in your mind. Sometimes it's in the Course, it's referred to the face of Christ. It's not talking about the face of Jesus the man or the Shroud of Turin or whatever the form. That's not the face of Christ. The face of Christ is the light reflects on everything of time and space equally. It just reflects without differences on everything. So that's part of what we're doing when we open to the Holy Instant. We're calling, we're praying to see this holy image. And some people say, how does the atonement relate to the Holy Instant, or how does the atonement relate to this holy image? Jesus says this about the atonement. He says, the atonement is in time, but it's not for time. It's in time and it's in your mind and it's for your mind. It's not for the world. It's in time, but not for time. So in other words, the correction is for your mind. It's not aimed at time. Time is not the problem. It's the mind that believes in time. That's the problem. You see, that's the ego. The ego invented time. So this is getting very subtle, but imagine you just wake up in a day and you just say, I'm giving this whole day over to God. I'm not going to try to use this day for any personal goals. I'm not going to use this day to try to achieve something, to accomplish something, to put another a notch in my belt or mark another thing off of my to-do list. But I'm going to give this day to you, God, and you show me what I need to see. You see how different that is than thinking I have to do this and this and this and this and this. And then I'll get tired, I'll rest, and then I have to do that. You know, you wonder why it's tiring. It's because it's like being on a hamster wheel of doing. When do you solve it? You know, how much is enough? How much have you done that's enough before you can rest? Jesus is saying, well, maybe just come back and start your day with, this day is God's. It is my gift to God. I'm giving my day over to God to use however the Holy Spirit wants to use it. I have no investment in it. I mean, even when we opened the mystery school, I was getting texts, oh, the power's out, this and this and this. Well, that's okay. All right. We can deal with that. Power's out. The Holy Spirit power is not out, but the electricity is out. So let's have some fun, you know. And in the end, we had more fun with the cell phones. At the end, I thought, this is the best. Why did it take us all these years to figure out this is the best way to have an opening circle with the little video cell phone? You know, all we needed was a cell phone. We didn't need a big screen TV. We didn't need power. Always needed was two cell phones. And we had so much fun with those two cell phones. But that's what we mean. Let the Holy Spirit do it. Don't try to figure it out for yourself based on your past learning. Have some fun with the Holy Spirit. Have some fun. Francis and I took a little time to read the questions that you wrote in, and we do tend to really go through those in more detail on Sunday, but as usual, a lot of them had things that seem like very important practical questions. One was making reference to the shooting, the massacre down in the Texas school. Also making a question about the Supreme Court and this ruling decades ago called Roe versus Wade, which allows a woman to get an abortion. And now that is coming up into question. And I think basically, Francis, the question was, how do we go about and lead our daily life? Do we get involved in causes? Do we get involved in the politics of the world? You know, do we get involved in family arguments and struggles and everything? And I think we can honestly say from the Course about, can you imagine what it's like to be perfectly quiet all the time, to have no cares, no worries? You can really see that there has to be a solution that's in the mind that lifts you above trying to judge and figure out the good and the bad, the right and the wrong of the world. There is a pristine state of mind that is so loving that everything and everyone is healed in an instant. And yet, the questions seem to be practical about how do we go about our day. And I think that's the topic that Francis and I talk about with most retreats is guidance. What inspires you? If you're going to go through the day and be done through by the Holy Spirit, it would have to be that whatever would come through you would be done through inspiration, not about trying to fix the world or change the world, but just because your intuition is calling you to something that seems highly inspiring. Yeah.
Yeah. It comes back to like our function is one that is established in heaven, you know, in a way that is such a high function we're here to do. We're sending a message, you know, all the time. The decision we make in mind is teaching and helping all the time in ways, whether it's visible to the eyes or not. And that is where the decision is made, is in what really we want to get out of each situation. Do we want perfect peace? Do we want to fulfill our function? And then allow the specific instruction to be given. I actually just suddenly remember this one little, I think it's a documentary I saw, but this clip of, it's not recent, but there is a lot of racist political issues back in the 60s in the United States. And this documentary interviewed this guy who is a black person, and I think he was very much attacked when he went to a bar and he ordered a plate of food. And someone came to him and said, "I would do whatever you do to this food, to you." And he just picked up the food, which is some chicken, and he kissed it. And that's the message. That's what he was inspired to do, because their threat, "I would do whatever you do to this chicken," he kissed it. And I was like lit up by this particular little, just a little thing that you're called to do in each moment, to teach the lesson of love, teach only love, for that is what you are. But we're called in different situations to demonstrate and teach this heavenly message. And it's not for this or against that, but there is very specific instructions. That's very, very inspiring.
Yeah, it's very practical. You love it with these examples, because it just shows you that really the question is, am I in the joy? Am I inspired? Because whatever comes from an inspired, happy, joyful state of mind is going to be the best thing for the whole universe. So it's, for me, it was always the question of what's my motive for what seems to be the life of David? What's the motive behind the parable of David? Well, I want to learn how to give without any thought of getting anything in return. I want to learn how to give as God gives, just out of pure joy, out of pure happiness. And you see that takes away the react and respond, because as long as you're reacting and responding to the images of the world, it just means you want to get something. I mean, why would you react and respond to images of time and space unless you still wanted to get something from time and space, and you believe you had to play the game? I'll give you this, but you give me that. I'll give you this if you'll let me get this. And I always say, when you want something from the world will want something from you. So in the end, it's like the guy kissing the food, you know, that had to be an inspired moment. After being told, "I'll do to you whatever you do to the chicken on your plate," and then he kisses the chicken. Sounds like something Gandhi would do. But you see how different that is from planning and scheming and striving to try to interact with the world as if you are at the mercy of the world. I mean, in the early days with the Course, I would ask Jesus all these practical questions, like, practically speaking, how am I going to travel? How will I eat? Where will I sleep? And Jesus would laugh and said, I already told you I would take care of that. Why are you still asking how? I told you I would arrange time and space. I would handle everything else. You give me your mind to work miracles and to be happy and joyful, and I will handle all the rest. Jesus was like, what part of all the rest don't you understand? Why are you still saying, how will I eat? Where will I go? You know, how will I survive? And he's like, we covered that. We covered that at the beginning. I will handle all that stuff. If you'll give your mind over to be a miracle worker, to be the light of the world, I'll handle the rest. It just ran against the conditioning so deeply that I was still every day, okay, show me. And every day I would be shown, okay, yeah, you've got this. But I think that that's a lot different from this idea of thinking, even that we have to personally figure out how we're going to survive. That's all based on our past learning. And of course, if we look to the past, that's what we see. It's survival. Survival of the fittest, survival of the species, you know. It's all the past. It's heavy. It's very heavy. Work for a living. Wait a minute. Didn't God create life, eternal life? Why am I now working for a living? You know. And then Jesus is like, well, I know you still believe in these things. So here, follow my guidance and, you know, I'll take you through the experiences you need to have to show you that you're a divine being. Let me convince you. Let me convince your mind you're a divine being, that you're pure light. You may think you're a body, but if you knew how slow and dense the vibrations were of that body, you would laugh to think that you're that. When you're the light of the I Am presence that's prior to the body, you would laugh at thinking that you could actually be vibrating that slow. That's why the angels and Jesus laugh a lot, because time itself is a concept that we have to slowly be loosened from.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Awakening to True Happiness with modern-day mystic David Hoffmeister. You can access more of David's teachings by visiting his website at davidhoffmeister.com. Tune in to David again next week on Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age, heard Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.